The Lord be with you.
And
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. After Jesus had spoken, a Pharisee invited him to dine at his home. He entered and reclined at table to eat. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not observe the prescribed washing before the meal. The Lord said to him, "O you Pharisees, although you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, inside you are filled with plunder and evil. You fools, did not the maker of the outside also make the inside? But as to what is within, give alms, and behold, everything will be clean for you." The Gospel of the Lord. In a certain sense, we can speak about three saints today. Saint Hedwig, whose parish is in Los Alamitos, pray for them. And pray also that married women can become saints. You know? There's no monopoly on holiness. So Saint Hedwig was a married woman, and Vatican II speaks about the universal call to holiness. 40 years ago today was the election of John Paul II. Did you know that? Hello? Well, now you know it. Huh? He was elected in 78, right? Yes, Father. What day? October 16th. Amen, huh? So in a certain sense, we want to honor John Paul II, one of the greatest popes in the history of the 2,000 years of the Catholic Church. And invite all of you to pray to him so that he'll pray for Pope Francis. Amen? Pray to him, because he's a canonized saint, that he'll pray for the church. He'll pray for Pope Francis, pray for the bishops, pray for priests. The church is going through a tough time. I don't have to go into it. But I think we pray to this great saint, who lived in a difficult time also, that he'll, through his intercession, the church will be converted, will be reformed, and the church will be a brilliant light in the midst of darkness. Three short ideas on John Paul II. One is that he's the first pope to be elected that was not Italian for about 400 years. And he was a Polish pope, and he lived in a time when there were two other great saints from Poland. And they were Saint Faustina. John Paul was born in 1920, died the year 2005. Saint Faustina was born in 1905 and died in 1938, died at 33. Also Kolbe. Kolbe. He was born in the late 1800s and died in 1941 in a concentration camp in Auschwitz, giving his life for a man. I was actually at his canonization. What a blessing, right? He was canonized by John Paul II in 1980. No? The second thing is John Paul II. Do any of you know what his coat of arms was, what he chose? Totus tuus ego sum, which is taken from? St. Louis de Montfort. Okay, St. Louis de Montfort. Okay, I wanted to kind of whisper in your ear, okay? So St. Louis de Montfort, you've heard of him, I hope you have, no? Who gives us true devotion to Mary. So his whole pontificate was a like the oblates of the Virgin Mary, totally giving of ourself to Jesus through Mary. And lastly, let me give you a mini course in ecclesiology, if you give me permission. The first encyclical of the Pope will give the tone to his whole pontificate. Do you know what his first encyclical was? None of you have a doctorate in ecclesiology, do you? Redemptor Hominus. Redemptor Hominus. Which would be, you Latin buffs, would be the Redeemer of Man. And whenever you read an encyclical, the first two words in Latin will be the first two words of the encyclical. So that means that his pontificate was going to be very Christocentric. Redemptor Hominus. So there was a Mariology, there was a Christocentric character to it. And the last idea on John Paul II was his missionary zeal. The two greatest missionaries in the world last century were John Paul II and Mother Teresa. Maybe you read the book Witness of Hope by George Weigel, or maybe you're getting through, it's 900 pages, small letters, no? Says that never in the history of the world was there anyone that was so visible to people, and there was never anyone in the world that traveled so much as John Paul II. He circled the world something like six times if you put it all together. So he teaches us that we're called to be missionaries. In his missionary encyclical, what was it? Remember? Missio Redentoris, the mission of the Redeemer. And he says that all of us are called to be missionaries. But he says the best mission territory are the big cities. Manila. New York. Boston. Buenos Aires, Hawaiian Gardens, okay. It's one of the smaller cities in LA, the one that has made the biggest noise over the past 30 years, huh? So the big cities are the places that we can do missionary work. So you're in the biggest diocese in the United States. John Paul II says, right here, bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. You don't have to go anywhere. Here, you have enough work to do. If you open up your eyes and you see the rich harvest that is before our eyes, the rich harvest. So those are a few words on John Paul II. St. Paul speaks about slavery. Some of you are thinking about, well, thanks be to God for good old Abraham Lincoln. Emancipation Proclamation, right? Thanks for that. But there's many forms of slavery. St. Paul is speaking about slavery. He's speaking of slavery in a more broad sense. Jesus is going to speak about slavery in John chapter 8. He says that, go ahead, say it, sin is slavery, right? Whoever has an addiction, be it pornography or drinking or drugs or compulsive buying or eating, whatever addiction we have, we're a slave to that addiction. That's the interpretation I give to that first reading. Then the Gospel of Jesus is warning us not to be hypocritical. What is a hypocrite? It really means an actor. He's faking it. you go to the Greek, the word hypocrite means an actor, okay? And it's this, you say something with your lips, then you do the opposite with your life. The Argentinians have a phrase, escribir con la mano, borrar con el codo. Amen. That's a good one, huh? You know, writing with your hand and you're erasing with your elbow. So there has to be a harmony between what we say and what we do. You think that should be in all families. You know, my parents had two rules in parenting. Can I tell you them? You give me permission? Okay. Or two. Very simple. In our family, no liars. No lying. We have a New York expression, liar, liar, set your pants on fire, okay? Okay, no lying. Because if you lie, you can't trust anyone. You can't trust anyone. And the second rule was obedience. Someone has to call the shots, huh? Otherwise, it's anarchy. It's anarchy, it's confusion. I think those are two good rules. We have to learn always to tell the truth and learn to obey legitimate authority. So a hypocrite is someone that usually is a liar and he's not going to be obeying any rules. A hypocrite says something with his lips, but does the exact opposite with his life. And today we celebrate a saint that we see right here. How are your eyes? You have Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, and we can see standing and blessing her with one hand and touching his heart with the other. Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque received the apparitions of the Sacred Heart in Paris La Monial, 1697. So I'll give you the heart of the message, and then go deeper into your love and devotion to the Sacred Heart. This is what he said to her. Behold, the heart that is loved so much and is received only, you ready? In gratitude and indifference in return. Behold, the heart that is loved so much and is received only in gratitude and indifference in return. Here's a tricky question. What's the opposite of love? You got it, because I preached this before, right? Normally people say hate, love, hate. But indifference, maybe it's worse. If I go to your house and you invite me and you have a heated quarrel with me, okay, you don't disagree with me, you don't agree with me. But if you ignore me, that's even more painful. Because if you fight with me, at least you acknowledge my existence as a human person. But if you ignore me, it's almost as if I don't exist. How many people today ignore our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How many people are indifferent to His love? How many people are cold to Jesus Christ? How many people are oblivious to Him? How many people don't pay attention to the love of Christ? And then, if you read any classical literature, Shakespeare, one of the most common themes is someone who loves and love is rejected. And that results in what is called a broken heart. The broken heart. So my definition of sin is not so much, many definitions. Sin is not so much breaking the commandment, but breaking the heart of God. So let's offer our communions today, as Jesus asked St. Margaret Mariella Cook, in reparation. In reparation for our sins. In reparation for the sins of our family members. In reparation for sins of our parish. In reparation for sins of our country. In reparation for sins of the church at large. In reparation for all the sins of humanity. Let's offer the Sacred Heart of Jesus, united with the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in due reparation as we receive the Eucharist, which is truly the Sacred Heart of Christ. Amen.